look in your Bibles to the book of Malachi tonight, book of Malachi chapter 3, and what a joy to look into God's Word tonight, try to preach what God's been stirring in our heart, and I am thankful for God's holy Word tonight. Book of Malachi chapter 3, you will and able stand. I'm going to read just verse number 6. If you're not sure where Malachi is, last book of the Old Testament, amen. And so you can find your place fairly easy there. I will look at this verse of Scripture. We'll read it, then pray. Try to preach as the Lord directs our heart tonight. And look into His holy Word for just a few minutes tonight. Malachi chapter 3, and reading verse number 6. The Bible says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." I'll read that again. The Lord speaking to us, speaking to Israel there. "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, because of who I am, me not changing, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord, tonight for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the good songs of Zion that have been sung in this place tonight. Oh, Father, I pray now for just a few minutes. Y'all just strengthen my voice and my body. Oh, for the unction of the Holy Ghost, I long and desire for tonight. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to help our attention, our hearts to be steadfast upon you. Father, I pray if there's just one in our midst that does not know you as Lord and Savior, may this be the service that they run to you and be saved tonight. Lord, help us. I praise you, people. I do not know the needs of each individual heart tonight, but Lord, you know what we stand in need of tonight. And Lord, everything you do will praise you and will thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Again, the Bible said, Malachi 3:6, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." I want to preach tonight just a few minutes on this subject of the unchanging God. The unchanging God. I am aware that how the Lord is writing to Israel here in the book of Malachi. I'm very much aware of that. And he tells them, "I don't change." And he said, "Because of that, your sons of Jacob are not consumed." But can I say also in this New Testament day that we are living in, that God does not change. That's why we're still here tonight. That's why tonight we have not thrown in the towel as so many times we have thought about doing. It's because of the fact that the God you and I serve does not change. Now you change and I change. There ain't no way around that. Sometimes it's a change for the better. Sometimes it's a change for the worse. But every one of us have to admit that we do change tonight. Everything changes. Hey, the seasons change, and we're experiencing that right now. Fall is here, and even the leaves are beginning to change, and some fall off the tree. That's a change that has taken place. We're in a day of change. We're in a day of confusion, but the good news is that God never changes. Oh, hey, I'll tell you something. It's easy to go to church and look at one another up one side and down the other and find all of our faults and talk about what this and does or don't do. But I'll tell you something today. We're all just sinners saved by grace. And the reason tonight we're not consumed as Israel wasn't consumed is because of this God that does not change. Oh, friend, I know you may be in a storm tonight, but the good news is God is right there. And as he's helped you before, he will help you again. Amen. Oh, I began thinking about the unchanging God. There's three things I'll look at now. I'm really trying to get to my last point, but these others are important, but I want to get to something in just a moment. But I want to stress three things to you tonight in particular, where God doesn't change. Let me say first and foremost, His standards never change. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about your Bible. God's word has never and will never change. Amen. You and I change a lot. That's right. But God's word will never change. Somebody say, oh, preacher, they're trying to change the Bible. That's where these new modern verses come from. They're not changing the Bible. That's exactly right. They'd have to climb into heaven to change it, for it's forever settled in heaven tonight. Hey, they're tripping out perversions, but they're not changing God's word. I want you to be assured of that in your heart. And I'm stressing this again because I'm telling you, we're in a day there is a battle over the Word of God. Which version do you use? I'll tell you something, all the new modern versions were put out for profit. Every one of them. Not only perverting the word, they're trying to as far as coming up with something man-made, but they are making profit. This King James Bible doesn't have a copyright. Now, your Bible may have footnotes in it, and they may be copyrighted, but the Word of God is not. Amen. And by the way, I will say this. The only revival that's ever come has been under a King James Bible. That's exactly, I'm talking about real biblical revival has been in these little over 400 years where the English-speaking people have had God's word have preserved and infallible tonight. Oh, friend, I thought about this as we think about His standards never changing. I want to remind you that His moral standards haven't changed. Hey, we're in a day everybody wants to talk about gray areas where God don't have gray areas. That's right. His moral standard, oh yeah, Exodus 20, them thou shalt nots, they're still thou shalt not. Amen. Hey, God said thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. All those moral standards are still the same as when He gave it to Moses on the mountain. God's moral standard has not changed, not even for America, not even for our political leaders of our day. Hey, God's moral standard is steadfast and unmovable. It is the divine word of God tonight. Oh, friend, His moral stand, it don't matter what somebody says. I know there's a lot that's being said about political correctness in our day. But hey, you need to get over political correctness. Amen. You need to major on biblical correctness. That's right. And God's word is its moral stand. He ain't changed it. Amen. Hey, I want to say this. I hit drinking a while back. I'm going to hit again tonight. There is no such thing as a sipping saint. It is not okay in moderation. It ain't okay, period. Amen. God's moral standard, it ain't changed a lick, and it's not going to. Hey, here at Gateway, we believe this Bible. Amen. It was founded on the Word of God, this church, and it's continuing on standing. Why, God's moral standards never change, friend. Hey, let me say this. No, His moral standards never change, but I don't say His marriage standards haven't changed. Amen. This Bible said in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, marriage is honorable in all in the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Hey, that's what God said. And let me say something right here. Now, I'm getting more on this marriage stand because of the confusion of our day. Because for some reason, folk ain't wise enough to figure out who's supposed to get married and who can't. Is that right? Well, I just figure out what God said about. What about that? I'm going to believe what God said about the issue. In Genesis, y'all look at that. Go Genesis chapter 2 just a minute now. I'm going to read you a couple of verses, about three verses, matter of fact. In Genesis chapter 2, about the sixth day of creation, in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 26 to begin with, the Bible said, and God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. Now listen, in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Hey, he said male and female. Now going down to verse number 31 just a minute. In verse 31, here's what the Bible says there. And God saw everything that he had made, talking about the sixth day. And God saw everything that he made, and behold, listen to this, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. That means there was nothing wrong in how he made man and woman. We're in a day, they're saying, well, I'm just confused. They talk about, I ought to have been a man, I ought to have been a woman. Hey, you're going contrary to the Word of God. Amen now. Hey, it's all right tonight. I'm going to preach and have myself big time. I'm telling you, God didn't make a mistake. Amen. This all's happened as they let their flesh get out of hand and got in the depths of perversion, and it has wrecked their life. That's right. Hey, God is not for all this new stuff. He's not. His marriage standard is the same as it was there in the garden. Hey, hear me right here tonight. God's plan is a man biologically born a man and remaining a man, and a woman biologically born a woman and remaining a woman, for them to get married. Nobody else. Hello. Amen. Hey, that's God's word. That's right. He has never sanctioned anything outside of that man and woman coming together in holy wedlock. Amen. Hey, that ain't popular. Not at all. Some of you cringe me preaching like that. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. It don't matter what they say out there. This is God's standard. Amen. And again, I ain't interested in being politically correct. I'm not mean toward nobody. I don't hate anybody. But God has a standard. Amen. And I'm more interested in being on God's side than I am anybody else's side. Amen. Hey, God's marriage standard has not changed. Amen. And I will go and say this too. It's his will to be for life. I know that folk get divorced. I know that get remarried. I'm not against nobody. That'll make you a second-rate Christian. Sure don't. But we need to instill in these children's hearts, hello now, they need to know. That's right. Some of you wish you'd met this one that was the will of God for your life before you messed your life up. That's right. Now don't get upset at me. I'm just telling you that's what God said. Amen. Hey, can I just say this right here? When we began in America having a unisex movement in America, that's where we began going down the wrong way. God has always had a distinction between the sexes. Amen. That ain't going to make me no points with nobody, but that's right. Amen. Hey, you say, I don't know if I like all this. I'm trying to get in a third point. If you don't down me, make me stay here a while. Amen. I'd shout with me and go on. Amen. Because I still am an old-fashioned preacher. If it gets too quiet, we'll back up and hit it all again. Amen. Make sure you got it this time. Amen. Hey, there is a marriage standard in the Word of God. Oh, yes. Can I say, no, there's a moral standard and a marriage standard. There's a ministry standard. That's right. 1 Timothy chapter 3, Titus chapter 1 is still in this Bible. there is qualifications for a man to preach. Not just anybody can preach the Word of God. Amen. Hey, yes, the husband of one wife, it sure is right. It has not changed. But also them other requirements are there. Having that good report without, paying your debts, praise God. And everything else. Hey, there is a standard to preach the Word of God. Amen. I'm telling you, it scares me. I read those texts multiple times in a year because I don't want to mess up. I want to finish right. Amen. Hey, I can promise you this. There'll not be a double married preacher in this pulpit or multiple married preacher in this pulpit as long as I got my senses about me. If they ever slip in, somebody really lied and deceived me, that's the only way that's going to happen. That's right. Because there's a high standard on this pulpit. Amen. Hey, God has not changed in His standards, not one iota tonight. Oh, we see His standards that never change. Let me say this, number two. His salvation never changes. It ain't going to. Amen. You see, the way of salvation is still in John 14, 6. Jesus said, I am the way. Not a way, but the way. Man, it's getting more. Hey, you know, I used to, as a younger Christian and a younger preacher, when I'd read through the book of Acts, and they was getting in trouble for preaching Jesus. Did you notice the whole book of Acts? That's what got them in trouble. It really was. It wasn't them preaching a conviction. It was them preaching Jesus, and it got everybody upset. I couldn't understand that 31 years ago, but we're seeing it again now. You go to preaching Jesus, the only way of salvation, and they get upset. Oh, preacher, don't you think somebody else is going to heaven? Well, they're going to heaven if they're going by Jesus Christ in Him. Now, I want to tell you something. Don't get mad. This is right. Hear me good. If they believe the false doctrine of the cults of this day, they're not saved. You listen to me? They are not saved. You're not going by water. You hear me? You're not going by a confessional booth, and I'm not beating and banging on nobody. But you hear me tonight. If you get to heaven, it'll be only through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way. Amen. Hey, He's the way of salvation. Hey, listen to this. What do I have to do myself to be saved? Well, according to Matthew 4:17, you're going to have to repent. Now that is something don't get preached a whole lot in our day. That repentance of turning from sin and self and turning to the Savior. Getting on God's side against yourself. Amen. Because you see, when you repent, you're confessing what you are, who you are. Amen. A person will never get saved saying, I'm a pretty good fella. I'm okay. You'll never get saved till you realize, hey, there's no hope of heaven for me apart from repenting, turning from me and my sin, and turning to Christ. Amen. Hey, you're going to have to confess Him and call upon Him. That's right. He said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in that heart. Hey, are you hearing me now? God raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You're going to have to confess, I'm the sinner, He's the Savior. Now, I want to help some young Christian right here. Getting saved is not going down a checkoff list. Because sometimes a young Christian says, well, I don't know if I did 1 and 3, I did 2 and 10. Are you hearing me? That's right, conviction and confess and believe and having faith and repentance. They think it's a little checkoff. No, no, no. You see, when all that will happen at one time in your heart. Amen. I'm telling you, hey, At 10 years old, when I got saved that night, been under conviction for several months, off and on, I knew I was lost. I knew Christ was the Savior. But the very instant in my heart, I turned to Him, asking to be forgiven and say, He did everything that I've learned later on that I did. Amen. That heart, when it turns toward, hey, you say, preach, how I know it. You can't help but know it. You can't help but know it. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you again, the night I got saved, I had not read no books. I hadn't had no class. And I'm not against any of that. Did you hear that part? I ain't against any of that. But you see, the one that done the converting moved in me. And He started that night working in my life of changing me. That's right. I began just thinking different. Amen. Things I had never desired as far as the things of God. There was a hunger in me all of a sudden. That's right. Had a heart desire to go to church. Oh, yes. That's what happened to me that night. I mean, it changed me. Now, hey, I'm not proud of this, but as a young Christian, got out of the will of God, I thought about the Holy Ghost early this morning, reminded me of this morning. As a young Christian, hey, I ain't been saved a long time. I don't know as much. No, I don't know a lot now. I ain't acting like I know everything because I don't. But I knew a lot less back yonder. But I'll tell you this, I can remember the first time, and hear me right here, the first time after I got saved that a friend of mine wanted me to spend the night with him on a Saturday night, and I knew he didn't go to church. And I ain't had no class. But the Holy Ghost said, you need to make up for another night because you're supposed to go to church. That's how converted I got. Amen. You said you'd do it. I disobeyed God and got whooped for it. That's right, too. Hey, I've never had more of a miserable Sunday in my life than I did that Sunday. Because I was not where a Christian's supposed to be on Sunday morning. You still alive? Still with me? Amen. You get saved, it changes you. That's right. God's standard of salvation has never and will never change about salvation. Never. Hey, let me say this, and I'm not picking. I'm wanting you to know, not only the way of salvation and the way what we have to do about getting saved, repenting, calling, all that. Hey, I'm going to tell you, our name is written in His book permanently. I'm going to be honest, and I ain't knocking nobody, but I'm going to be honest. Friend, if I could lose it, and he'd have to put it back in there when I got right, he had done erased a hole in that page with me. And maybe you've sprouted wings in a halo, but I've not. All he'd get done is erasing. I'm just being honest. But I'm going to share something with you of how saved you really are. Okay? You may have never thought about this. I want you to think about something. It's how saved you really are, how secure you are in Jesus Christ. John saw you in Revelation 19. Riding on a white horse. He done spotted you. You're going to be all right. Amen. Why? He wrote our name in His book. There ain't nothing taking it out. Amen. I'm not saved by my performance, but I'm going to tell you something. I can't get out of Him because He's the one that put me in Him. Amen. Hey, we find there's the permanence of salvation, and I'm glad of that. They don't give me a license to sin. I done told you God will deal with you. He deals with sin in this life. All right? At the judgment seat, I ain't facing sin. I'm going to face my works. My sin got judged at Calvary. Amen. That's right. Hey, therefore, I'm going to heaven, not on my performance, but on what he did. Amen. Hey, I'm glad God's salvation never changes. I really am. Hey, if you get out of line now and you're his, he'll deal with you. He really will. Amen. But I find his standard never changes, his salvation. Let me say this, number three here. We'll stay just a few minutes and I'll be done. Second, I look thoroughly at his supply never changes. I'll tell you when this verse come to my mind, my heart, and has been eating in me ever since, was I guess it was Saturday, yeah. Last Saturday, I was in North Carolina delivering a dog, and I was getting ready to come back this way, and I got a phone call, and they said, "Preacher, they said, did you know that the fuel line in Alabama is ruptured?" And I said, "Nope." I said, "I ain't had time to watch news all week. I didn't know that." They said, "Do you understand that there's been gas shortages this week? They're panicking." That's about 11:30 Saturday. That preacher said where he lived at, they was done out of gas 11:30 on Saturday. And they didn't know when the next trucker's coming in there. And the Holy Ghost said this. He said, their fuel line might get interrupted. They may be a shortage on their side, but they ain't never going to be a shortage with what I got. Amen. Hey, our life here, we have limited supplies of everything. Do you know that? Somebody said, "Well, I'm not real worried about gas shortage." You will when the grocery store ain't stocked. Because how do you think them groceries got in there? Amen. Hey, there's a lot of... Hey, God said, "Son, I want to remind you. I told the sons of Jacob, you're not consumed because I don't change." He said, "Son, I'm going to remind you again, I don't change still." Amen. You see, God's supply, now let me say this. First, it's abundant. It is abundant tonight. Hey, God's got more than you will ever need. Amen. I thought about this as we down there and seen out the ocean and stuff. You could get you a bucket and get you a bucket full of the ocean, run up, throw it on shore, and go back and do it, and you ain't never going to tell you took any out. As quick as you can do it, you can't tell it. I'm going to tell you, more important than that than the things of God, you ain't even skimming the surface with him. That's right. Hey, nothing makes him have a surface. It is an abundance. Now, I want to say something right here. That don't always mean it's money. All right? God does supply money when you need it. He has me more than one time. Amen. When the month is longer than what you got in the bank, you ever have them months? Son, my whole life in the ministry, now, I'm pretty tight with money, but some we've got down there more than one time, well, that bank book and what was going out sure wasn't matching, but it was still going out. That's right. But I would say this, it ain't always a money thing. I believe more important than anything in the supply of God is his grace. Because there can be times that me and Brother Tim talked about it several months ago. Some people think that God's people ain't never done without and God's people ain't never served. That ain't so. You ever read Hebrews 11? Anybody else read Hebrews 11? Some didn't get delivered. They got sawn asunder. They got fed the lions and everything. Hey, it didn't change for them. But you know what didn't run out? Grace. Amen. Hey, when grace kicks in, you don't worry so much about what you don't have no more. That's right. Hey, it is abundant. The grace of God, sin abound, but grace did much more abound. Hey, Paul found out that God's grace is fit. There's plenty of grace for whatever you're facing tonight. Oh, hey, it's abundant. Let me say this. It is also available. You're never going to go to God for grace and then say, "Now you're going to have to wait a minute." Amen. We're going to have to check the reserves. We're going to have to see if we can help you today with grace. That ain't never going to happen to you. The grace of God is abundant and it is available today. Let me say this, it is adequate. It will meet your need. Amen. I said a moment ago it ain't always money, and I'm going to tell you why it ain't always money. God don't always bail you out of the mess you made financially. You hearing me? You don't go just get that and think, all right, God help me. It ain't going to work that way. You may lose the car. You might lose the house. You hear? Are you listening to me? Okay? But I'm going to tell you this. There'll be grace. There'll be grace for what you're facing. And the grace of God. Paul, that's that song she's, Michelle, you were singing a little bit ago. It was dealing with that text of Scripture. Paul told me, I'll just glory in my infirmity then. You know why God, why Paul changed? He was asking, God, take this thorn away. And he went from asking, remove this thorn, to saying, I'm just going to rejoice in the infirmity. What happened? Grace. Grace. Hey, God's grace is indeed sufficient for this modern day that we're in. Hey, again, yes, God meet financially. God touched people physically. I've seen God heal folks. Sure have. I'm telling you, God in his mercy stepped in and touched some folk. I've seen that more than one time. I didn't see no man do it and don't think a man can do it. But God can. Amen. But whichever way it goes, God's got grace. Grace will be right there every step of the journey with you tonight. Oh, friend, God's supply never changes. I don't know what I'll face before the sun comes up in the morning. And you don't know what you'll face before the sun comes up in the morning. But I do know this, the grace of God will still be abundant. It'll still be available. It'll still be adequate for our very need. It'll never, never let you down. I can promise you that tonight on the authority of that Bible. Not that I'm preaching, but the authority of this Bible, the grace of God is sufficient. Not could be, might be, maybe it will. No, God's grace is sufficient tonight. Oh, he'll help you. He'll help you tonight. Father, take a very simple thought tonight. Use it for the help of your people. Lord, I pray for again for that that's lost in this place tonight. I pray the Holy Ghost do a work in their heart tonight that they'd turn to you and be saved. Lord, I love you because you first loved me. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord God, that you are more than enough tonight. And Lord, we praise you for all that you've done in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed just a moment. Is there someone here tonight? I lifted a hand and say, preacher, I'm not saved, I'm lost. Preacher, would you remember in prayer tonight, I know I need the Lord. I know it. I know I'm lost. Pray for me tonight. Anybody in the building tonight? I see that hand and that one. Anybody, preacher, I know I'm not saved. Pray for me. It could be tonight. It could be that the pressure's on where you work, where you go to school, about conforming to the standard of this day. But God's reminded you tonight of his standard has never changed. You say, preacher, what do you do when the world's standard, God's standard don't match? You go with God's standard. If you're going to walk with God, you got to go with God's standard. It could be you're in a situation tonight, storm of life, a problem of some kind, and God's reminding you again about his grace. Oh, friend, won't you let him help you? His grace is sufficient. Let's stand tonight.